Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Mr. John Sharp, and he is the editor of a book which is a collection of essays written by people who are critical of the move that has taken us into Iraq. And the book is called Neocon. Now, it's two volumes, fascinating points of view from many people. Some of them would be considered very liberal, some of them would be considered very conservative, but they're all concerned about the war. And so with that as the background, John, thank you so very much for being with us. Are you there, John? Mr. Sharp, are you there?
Well, Doctor, sorry about that. I've had to figure out the right button on the phone to operate here.
All right, fine. You have the same problem I do then, huh?
Yeah, very much so.
All right, fine.
Well, good to talk with you again.
Why don't you just, now remember, this is a different audience, so if you can simply say what you said before, and I'm going to ask you a lot of the same questions.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
In fact, why did you want to put together this book? After all, this is not one book, it's two books, and one of them is about 3 inches thick. But, I mean, these are essays from people from all points of the political spectrum who oppose the war in Iraq. Isn't this, are we fighting terrorism over there? Isn't that what it's all about? Trying to, defeat the terrorists on the streets of Baghdad so we don't have to fight them on the streets of New York?
Well, that's what we're told quite frequently, and the 70 or some contributors to these volumes, I think, would argue with that assessment quite a bit. And that's, to answer your question, one of the main reasons why we did what we did in bringing these voices together and giving them an opportunity for their side of the story, if you will, to be told, and told in as public a way as we could envision, was to inject some reality, as you said in your intro, back into the discussion. The position that you just offered in terms of fighting terror, and we're told in terms of sound bites that Iraq is the central front in the war on terror, and this tends to be the frequent justification now that some of the other explanations for why we're over there have been proven less than valid, shall we say. That's now the central one. It's the central front in the war on terror, and this position, I think, is dealt with very, very decisively by many of these contributors. But even in a broader way, I should say, what we really wanted to do was to bring together all of the voices from all across the spectrum who are offering an alternative view, and a view that's different, and in fact, almost in opposition, you might say, to the prevailing view. Point being, this is not a conservative project, it's not a liberal project, it's not even what you'd call an independent project. We recently had a good exchange with someone who was kind enough to write a review of our books in a little small magazine, who said, well, I think the perspective from the right and the paleocons, as they're called, is very good, but I'm not sure I buy the liberal argument. And we responded, in a letter to the editor that hopefully will show up, saying, there is no liberal argument. There's not really even a conservative argument. There's just plain argument. There's just, we tried in putting this together to encourage our contributors to just state the facts. And certainly there are things that are matters of opinion, but we tried to keep them to a high standard of rigorous logic and analysis and drawing, legitimate conclusions from the facts rather than a lot of the speculation and hyperbole that you tend to get out of other corners. But again, one of the main reasons was to bring all these voices together and to put in one package, one coherent package, the case that's made from all these different perspectives against the war.
So hold that thought right there. We'll be right back.
Absolutely.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, John. John, you go right ahead, and I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah,
and I want you to tell our listeners why you were so concerned, and of course, what the general tone of your writers is.
Well, the cause for the concern mainly, I think, is what you hinted at the very beginning in terms of the justification that we hear from our public figures as to why we're there. Not only did it shift over time, but now where it's ended up, this business of, oh, Iraq is it's essential that we fight in Iraq because Iraq is the central front of the war on terror. Some of these other interesting sound bites in terms of, well, we're not coming home until the Iraqis can defend themselves. A lot of things just didn't make sense to us. One interesting illustration from the current headlines is this business of Hamas coming to power in Palestine. And it will be interesting to see how the approach of our government is reconciled with the publicly declared position of the government. Of course, we're into self-determination, we're into democracy. You may remember we made a lot of noise about Syria's occupation of Lebanon last year, and the rhetoric remains focused on spreading democracy. But here you have a very interesting predicament where people vote for a group that perhaps we're not too pleased with. And our takeaway from what was going on in Iraq, where some of these what we would consider unrepresentative, radical pro-Iranian Shiites have been placed in power through the elections that we have sponsored and whatnot in Iraq since our invasion and occupation, puts us in very much the same situation. I'm not sure if there were an honest and accurate poll done in Iraq, just how many people would vote for the folks that are currently in power. I mean, Ibrahim al-Jafari, the prime minister, and the president of Iraq, Talabani, who is a longtime Kurdish separatists. So again, a lot of what we were hearing and seeing didn't seem to make sense. There is the sort of public stated position on the one hand, and the facts that come out that are still even reported in the mainstream news. that if you really look with a critical eye, the two of them don't match up. So we thought, well, somebody, since no one else has done it, I mean, we were not overly qualified to do it, I'll honestly tell you that, because there are a lot of bigger and more powerful publishing houses out there that could have brought a lot of money to bear on publicity and attracting even bigger names than we were able to get. But we thought, well, somebody has got to pick up this baton and run with it. And we reached out and touched everyone we could, again, from the right, names like Pat Buchanan, certainly well-known in conservative circles, Joe Sobran, the columnist, Sam Francis, another columnist who just passed away last year, Jude Winiski, another who passed away last year, who was a very, very long-time conservative and intimate of the Reagan crowd back in the late 70s and early 80s, and numerous other names from the right, but folks who, just because they're conservative, didn't necessarily take the popular Republican line of supporting the war. Then we hear a lot of what we thought were intelligent arguments from folks that are normally dismissed as leftists, whether they're called radicals or even Marxists. In some cases, the invective gets pretty strong. But we have guys like Noam Chomsky, Kirkpatrick Sale, Alex Coburn, and some of the other fairly well-known left-wing or what you would call leftist writers who make some very, very, very sound arguments. And frankly, the arguments that come from both sides of our aisle, if you will, tends to stack up, I think, more persuasively, more credibly than what you hear coming from our, say, more official spokesmen. So that was our main desire, was to bring all of these sane, rational, persuasive voices together, put them in one package, have it as an accessible resource, if you will, for anyone, frankly, who claims to take a position on the war. I would put out this challenge to your audience and any other audience. If you are decided in your own mind that you're firmly behind this American action that we've taken as of March of 2003, and it continues to this day, you have to read these books in order to, I think, have a clean conscience, in order to rest assured that you've made up your mind in the right way. You have to let yourself be exposed to the other side of the story. And to my knowledge, these two volumes together gives you all of that other side of the story. There's not a, to my knowledge, again, there's not an angle or a perspective or an argument that's missed out in this collection. This will give you the whole package. And it's only after reading this and digesting it, I think if you happen to still come down on the side of the war, then I will, you know, happily back off and leave you alone and say, well, at least you gave the other side a good hearing. But until you've done that, I would argue you don't really even have a right to have a position one way or the other, because you just haven't heard both sides of the story.
But aren't the Iraqi people a lot better off with Saddam Hussein gone? Wasn't Saddam Hussein an evil and wicked man?
Well, I've never met him, so I hesitate to speak of evil and wickedness, you know, people I don't know intimately, and I suspect we'd all be a lot better off if we were less inclined to do that. But I will tell you, Doctor, as controversial as the position it may be, my personal read from reading the headlines and reading the history is that Saddam, while he may have, you know, ruled with a strong fist, and of course there's a lot of implications to that in terms of, you know, human rights abuses and violations and other things, at the end of the day, I think even one of the famous leftist commentators said, one of the fundamental building blocks of civilization is order. In other words, if criminal gangs are running amok, if factions are trying to slaughter one another, as is happening now between Sunnis and Shiites, you can't build much of a civilization in that atmosphere.
Well, of course, now, but if we were to pull out of Iraq, and John, I want you to know I'm playing the devil's advocate.
No, please, yeah, the devil's advocate is good. It's more persuasive, I think, for folks to hear that.
If we pull out of Iraq, there will be total chaos and civil war.
Well, I would say if that's true, and I say it's a big if, I'm not sure that that's the case, but if it's true, then the civil war is happening already. I mean, there's already plenty of reports that come out on a day-to-day basis about Sunnis who feel like the Shiites that we have empowered are now allegedly avenging themselves for the decades of Sunni oppression, which I think is also a myth, frankly, from the standpoint that the facts don't bear out what the rhetoric would indicate on that subject. Then the Shiites, of course, are inflamed because the Sunnis seek retribution, and then the Shiites going to, you know, it's one thing after another. The Sunnis are, in general, on the side of the resistance or the insurgency, as it's called, and the Shiites, who are running the foreign ministry and running many of these so-called death squads, which are operating, are backed and staffed with American advisors and are supported by American Reconstruction Funds. So this is a civil war that's already going on, if there is one that's going on.
I don't think there's any question. I think that
perpetuated
civil...
by our presence and our aid.
But of course, we pull out, that there will be total chaos, and there will be tremendous bloodshed if we pull out.
Well, I don't know, Doctor. I would say that if the reprisals that go back and forth between Sunnis and Shiites are only enhanced by our being there and by our effectively having decided, as crazy as it seems, to side with the Shiites, you take that support structure out of there, it may get bloody and brutal for a while, but I think at the end of the day, much like the situation we experienced with Britain in the end of the 18th century, you let these folks fight it out and establish their own equilibrium and their own sense of who's going to run their country. I think that's the fundamental issue, is that we're there kind of trying to decide, well, which side are we going to be on? And that's a recipe for disaster, unless we intend to occupy, frankly, until, you know, indefinitely. And I think there are folks who would argue, you may be one of them, that might have been the intention.
I think that is exactly what I would argue.
But this whole political situation provides simply a pretext for that.
Well, I think that the important thing for our listeners to understand is they're giving you two untenable positions. One, we stay and we continue to stay, and we, of course, there will be continued chaos if we stay. If we pull out, there's going to be chaos.
Right.
Those are the wrong questions.
Right.
We've
let
the other side frame the debate.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the other side is I think skilled at framing the debate, and in many cases, the rhetoric poses it as a choice between victory and defeat. And every normal American, I think every decent citizen, patriotic citizen, would say, well, of course we don't want defeat. So what's the default response is, well, we'd rather have victory. But then again, the question is, victory in order to achieve what? There's no definition of what we're trying to achieve. So victory just remains a very vague thing that people, I think, can root for it with a clean conscience, because they're not even sure what it means. What victory? What are we trying to achieve? If overthrowing Saddam was the objective, we should have come home after that was finished. I mean, even if we wanted to wait till he was captured, that was, what, December of 03. So it was finished at that point. There's no argument that Saddam has been removed from his sort of official and recognized position as the president of Iraq. If that was the goal, we should have finished. Now I think the onus is on people who are saying that we remain there to really tell us what it is we're trying to achieve.
Now, I think, of course, what we intend to achieve is a war with Iran, a war with Syria, and if you understand that this had nothing to do with Saddam Hussein, the part that's really been missed by, I think, most people is the fact the Iraqis offered to surrender. Anybody questions that, we have an article out of the Washington Times by the man who carried the surrender offer, the Iraqi surrender offer, to the Defense Department. His name was Michael Maloff, and if our listeners out there who's skeptical and said that couldn't be true, well, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a copy of the article. Saddam Hussein offered to go into exile, to leave the country. You'll find that on Wikipedia, online, up on the Internet. This is verified if you really check it out. Saddam was ready to leave. The Iraqis were let us to bring our troops in without firing a shot to preserve the structure of their society. And what did we do? We went in. We insisted on a war. We had the war. We killed a lot of people. And then, of course, we disbanded the Iraqi army. We disbanded the Iraqi police force. We disbanded the Iraqi civil service. We created the chaos to justify staying. And until people understand that, it's all contrived.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And every piece of data that you could mention, I think, Doctor, points in the same direction. And that's what we have tried to do, I think, is also to help people. You know, our journey to understanding the Iraq situation doesn't stop with the end of these books by any means. And I think they're more of a beginning than an end. And what we have told many people is that you read these books, or even read the essays that interest you. I mean, there's no obligation to read all 1,200 pages. The articles are self-contained and self-sufficient, so jump around and read what's of interest. And then you will learn how to read the headlines. You won't read another headline the same, even from the mainstream news, because you will understand the background and learn to separate the fact from the fiction.
And you have some military officers who have actually written for you, haven't you? Because we're told all the military is solidly behind this. I think that a regular military doesn't dare tell you the truth, but they went to Congressman Murtha, they went to General Four-Star Marine General Zinni, and asked them to carry the ball. Because the people in the military, if they were to speak out and tell the truth, would lose their jobs, would lose their commands. And we need good people in the military. But you have a couple of military officers there that are telling the truth, don't you?
We do, absolutely. A number of senior folks, mostly retired now, like you say, because they're in a position where they can speak a little bit more freely. But we're not talking...
Hold that thought right there.
Yeah.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986, yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you think your engine is safe by having the oil changed every 3,000 miles, think again. Every time you start your car, your engine creates friction between the moving parts. These moving parts wear against each other, and the result is small metal particles circulating through your oil, causing premature wear and damage to your engine. Oil filters do a good job of trapping the large metal particles, but they will not trap the most harmful tiny particles. These tiny particles circulate constantly through your oil, and over time, your engine begins to show signs of wear. This is why you need the Filter Mag. The Filter Mag is a powerful magnet that holds itself to the outside of your oil filter, trapping the tiny metal particles to the inside wall of the filter, extending the life of your oil and ultimately extending the life of your engine. The reusable Filter Mag is maintenance-free, installs in 2 seconds, and lasts forever. So what are you waiting for? Go to filtermag.com. That's filtermag.com. Or call 800-345-8376. That's 800-345-8376.
Did you know that recent estimates by the Arthritis Foundation put the number of Americans with arthritis or chronic joint symptoms at 66 million, or 1 in 3 adults? Or that arthritis is the nation's leading cause of disability among Americans over age 15? Most individuals diagnosed with arthritis don't think anything can be done to help. Those who are aware of treatment options fear the debilitating side effects associated with prescription drugs. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we feature herbal formulations like Joint Care, whose safety and effectiveness in supporting healthy joints has been established in over 50 clinical trials and research studies. Joint Care facilitates freedom of movement by promoting circulation and enhancing the overall functioning of the musculoskeletal system. Don't let arthritis stop you from doing the things you enjoy or leading a normal, healthy, and active life. Visit us online today at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841. 3841.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is John Sharp, and we're talking about the philosophy of the just war. And certainly this has been talked about for a long time. When is a war just? Well, certainly I believe if our country is really attacked, if our country is being invaded, we would be justified in going to war. But not, of course, when we think that there might be a threat, and not when we don't like Saddam Hussein because he's a wicked and evil man. Of course, everybody's forgotten. We financed this wicked and evil man all during the 1980s and gave him the wherewithal to build his chemical and bacteriological weapons.
Doc, you might add, to stop the spread of fundamentalist radical Islam that was coming out of Iran, which is the problem that we're supposedly so concerned about now. You know, so we were behind him precisely to oppose that tendency. And now the guys that we've replaced him with are the ones who are allied with that same nation that we were so concerned about 20 years ago.
Well, of course, the thing that really bothers me, John, is, you know, there was not a lot of radical Islam before we set off this whole war. And
yep.
Now,
well, you're right.
What we are doing is recruiting people to Al-Qaeda and to as followers of Osama bin Laden. The people are rallying to this position. You can see what the recent vote in Palestine was.
Yep.
I mean, 5 years ago, you never could have gotten Hamas elected. Right now, the actions of the United States have done more to help Osama bin Laden than anything Osama ever did.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I can't help but in a strange way, I hope this isn't too upsetting to folks, but I mean, in a strange way, I can't help but sympathize with people who are you know, who perhaps are desperate and are saying, we are so fed up with this hypocrisy. We subtitled our second volume deals with hypocrisy, who are so fed up with it that they really feel no alternative. Other people who voted for Hamas might not know the first thing about what they stand for, other than that they come across as a kind of militant, you know, we're not going to put up. You remember the old, I think it was Network, the movie where they say, oh, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I suppose that must be a lot of the sentiment that animates folks, and a lot of the respect that I know we commanded in the Arab world years and years ago has been squandered precisely because of this perceived behavior that will mouth one thing in public statements and then behave in a totally opposite and frankly, reprehensible way.
Well, now, what do you think the motives of the neocons is? Who are the neocons, and why should we be concerned about them?
Well, it's very interesting, Doctor, and I'm not the resident expert. There are a lot of folks, and in fact, there's a professor or a PhD named Steve Snigoski, who wrote a very good essay on the neoconservatives for our second volume. So I would tell folks that's the thing to get out there and get and to read, for the real background, the details. But, you know, my sense is that to a large extent, these were guys who in the 70s, as you said, you mentioned, Trotskyites, they're referred by the paleocons as kind of warmed over liberals. But these are guys who felt increasingly that the peaceful approach of the Democratic Party, or the allegedly too peaceful approach towards the Soviets, was problematic. They wanted a hard line, a kind of militaristic approach to dealing with the Soviet threat. They were also very, very concerned with the Israeli connection in terms of the Soviet Union wanting folks to emigrate, wanting the Jewish folks to emigrate from the Soviet Union into Israel. That was a major, major focus. Many of them were stashed away as staffers in Scoop Jackson's office in the 70s. That's, I think, Richard Perle started there, if I don't mistake my facts, along with many of his colleagues. And they ended up moving into the Republican Party because they felt that the strong sort of grit your teeth, arm yourselves to the teeth approach to the Soviet Union was appropriate, regardless of whether they were right or wrong in that. And I know lots of folks, myself included, who at the time were very impressed with a lot of these guys because we thought, well, this is great. You're not going to take this lying down. We need to present this firm, united, militarized front against the communist threat. But when the communist threat went away, effectively, became less of an issue, say, end of the 80s, early 90s, and I read a great article about Reagan, even, it was complimentary, saying that he even had enough sense to appreciate that there was a good deal of sincerity in what Gorbachev was doing when he was making these overtures to the West to try to move us past this this business of pointing weapons at each other as a way of maintaining the peace. That even though Reagan had the sense to recognize that, the neoconservatives didn't like the idea. The neoconservatives didn't like the idea of a peace dividend, and they wanted to maintain this armed stance. They needed an enemy. They needed someone to fight. And I think there's probably an ulterior motive for that, keeping us militarized and keeping us energized and on a war footing aids some of their other, perhaps more nefarious aims, ideas that they have in the Middle East and whatnot that I know you've talked about a lot on your program.
And I think it's this whole idea, you need an enemy to rally the people behind the government.
Yep.
Communism's
yep.
the enemy,
yep.
the environment's going to kill us
sure,
all.
Sure, or war on drugs, or war on fat, or whatever it is.
Amen. And now we've got a war on terror.
Yep.
And we'll be
yep.
right back here at Radio Liberty.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com. or call 877-300-7645.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark.
Cool weather brings cool cars. I don't think so. A cooling system can run too hot or too cold if not prepared for winter. Here's your to-do. Ask your local shop to perform the BG coolant flush. A simple test strip tells if your coolant's protecting the engine from temperature extremes or breaking down and corroding. The BG chemistry cleans the system, then adds new coolant with conditioners. Ask your shop for a BG coolant flush or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be the special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarkets.com. That's M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N markets.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is John Sharp, who's put together, they compiled these two books in about 1,200 pages, but a series of essays, so you don't have to read them all. You can read those you're interested in, and those that I've read are very, very informative. Yes, they oppose the war, but I think that you have to realize that this is the first step. Oh, we went into Afghanistan because we wanted to get the wicked Osama bin Laden, but we never got the wicked Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, he became an afterthought very quickly, didn't he? Yeah. He only pops up occasionally when it's perhaps useful.
When he's convenient. And then, yeah. Of course, then we went into Iraq. But, ladies and gentlemen, the next war will be Iran. The next war will be with Syria. And people think that, oh, well, these wars are not going to affect me. Yes, they are, because I really fear that we have a very, very shaky economy. What happens if our economy were to collapse? What happens if people throughout the world were to lose confidence in the American dollar? What would happen if there were attacks on our commercial airliners and there were a couple of our major cities that were seriously damaged by terrorist activities? What would happen to the infrastructure of our society? And we saw the devastation that simply one hurricane could do. What do you think a nuclear war could do to America? People say it is unthinkable. And I would ask why it's unthinkable. All you need to do is see the pictures of what happened in Fallujah.
Right.
To realize that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. There is a blowback. And if people are not involved, sometimes what they have done to others will come back to haunt them. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, John, would you like to tell people how they can get copies of your book or get more information from you?
Well, the best source, Doctor, is just for them to go to neocond.info. That's a website, easy to remember, for information on neocond, just type in N-E-O-C-O-N-N-E-D, neocond, .info for a source of information. And that will give you, obviously, an opportunity to order the books at a good discounted price off the retail, but also a running list, which we've just started, thankfully, of current headlines with little notes under each of the headlines that explains sort of what's really going on. And in fact, what we do is we take a headline from the news and say, if you want to know the story behind the story, so to speak, read chapter, say, 35 or chapter 40 or chapter 12 from volume 1 or volume 2 to really give folks a sense of how not only the books are timely, keeping up with the headlines, but more importantly, to just teach them how to read. I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. Certainly folks are literate in the sense that they can read the words on the page, but much of it doesn't sink in because they're operating, again, based on this rhetoric and soundbite level rather than based on real knowledge. They're not armed with real knowledge, which is what we aim to give them. Other ways to get the book, certainly they can go to Amazon, the big online retailer, local bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders. Many of them are carrying it. If they don't have it, they should ask for it and help the thing get into circulation and get in the front window even. They ought to tell clerks to put the book in the front window in a display. There's really not an issue, I think, at this point in our nation's path, this journey that we're on, that's more timely or perhaps has more grave consequences, as you've outlined so often.
But many, many good people support the war. I mean, many well-meaning people, patriots, many of the parents of the
young
people
right.
over there.
You're right.
And certainly, I'm sure many of the men who go over there support this. They believe
yep.
we're fighting for freedom.
Yep. Well, I would say those are our prime customers, and it's a sad paradox because those are the people who would frankly be least inclined to buy these books, and so we need their friends or their in-laws or their children or parents to buy the books and give it to them. But those are our main targets. I mean, we're not about preaching to the choir, but we really want the well-intentioned folks to approach these things with open minds that are prepared to hear what the facts are, then make their logical and reasoned conclusion from those facts. And again, I would be willing to go out on a limb and say no one of goodwill who's open to the facts and open to a persuasive argument can confront these books and then leave and remain supportive of the war. It's not possible.
Well, John,
and those are the folks we're after, frankly.
Well, now, of course, there are many people who feel that we've not been really told the real reason for going to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons is that we were there to protect Israel. The second is that we were there, of course, to control the oil of the Middle East, because
mm-hmm.
we needed that oil because we want, of course, to dominate the oil of the Middle East.
Yeah.
And then there's another thought, and that is that we went over there because Saddam Hussein was talking about selling his oil in euros, and that
mm-hmm.
would have had an impact on the stability of the American dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And those seem to be the three most commonly held beliefs. Do you think there's any truth to any one of those three?
Well, I think there's a lot, and I can almost, you know, cite you chapter and verse from the book. There's at least one chapter on each one of those issues exclusively. And I think, you know, the larger, to tie your observations there in with the earlier discussion about the neoconservatives, I think there's a very persuasive article by a sociologist who's up at Yale by the name of Emmanuel Wallerstein, who's his specialty is really looking at cultures in the long view, looking at the historical progress and development of many, many cultures and societies, including ours. And he looks at the neoconservative approach, if you will, as one of maintaining American hegemony, the sense that, and I think this is confirmed by all their writings, you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but the idea that America's in this position of leadership, a benevolent hegemony, I think that may be Bill Kristol's phrase or one of those guys, where we're in charge, we're in control, and I'm not sure there's a desire really to tyrannize people. I'm not sure that these guys are even necessarily of ill will. I think it may be a very good, well-intentioned thing, but the idea that America's role is not simply to get along with other nations in the larger family of nations, but really to use this power and this leadership we have in a way to frankly remake the world in our image. And I think add the fourth reason in light of those thoughts, add the fourth reason to your list of reasons why we're in Iraq, is because Saddam was a very, very outspoken pan-Arab nationalist, a guy who really didn't want much to do with the West. Not that he was certainly willing to take our aid and our support. I don't think he was looking for a fight because he knew it would have spelled his demise. But at the same time, I don't think he wanted to be a puppet, much like many of the other Arab heads of state are perceived, You know, whether that's accurate or not is another story, but many of them are perceived as just, you know, being told what to do by our president and by the prime minister of the UK. And I think Saddam didn't want to play that role. He didn't want to dance to that tune. And I think that's a kind of, from the position of the neoconservative hegemon, that's a kind of upstart, snippety sort of, we're going to teach you a lesson. And I'm not trying to be flippant, but Wallerstein, you know, makes this case in a very, very academic and persuasive way, a very reasoned way. And I think there's a lot to be said there. And again, that dovetails with the forceful exercise of our military power that the neoconservatives believe is necessary to make sure the rest of the world knows that we not only have the power, but that we'll use it. It's a way of keeping this debt-ridden economy churning along. I mean, there's lots of profits that come from this this whole enterprise. All these things, I think, tie together. And again, that's why I say you can't read these books with an open mind, and which again, explain many of the different aspects of things that you've mentioned. And come away unconvinced. I just don't think it's credible for somebody not to be persuaded by the facts and the argument here, provided they're willing to read with an open mind. And that's what we're pleading with folks to do, is to set your biases or your preconceived ideas aside, come into this thing with an open mind, and prepare to be educated and hopefully have your eyes opened.
Well, you know, I think that things are never what they appear to be. This is one of the things you learn as you begin looking at things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Supposedly we went in there to help the Israelis, but, you know, look at what's happened now. Hamas has controlled the Palestinian area.
Wasn't this very successful?
And what we've done
is put
Israel into a totally indefensible position.
Yeah.
And if there is a war, it could very well, without God's intervention, destroy that country. And I think that there is a war coming, and Israel is going to be attacked as a direct result of what we're doing. And yet, Chris, is this an unintended consequence, or is this what it was really intended originally? We're talking about, oh, we're going to, of course, control the oil, there's going to be plenty of oil, and yet now there's less oil coming out of Iraq than there was before we attacked. We talk about going in there to defend the dollar, but the dollar's under attack increasingly throughout the world today. And if you look and see what's happening to the price of gold and silver, you know very well, like the canary in the mine shaft, it foretells very, very real problems for the stability of our economy. So maybe none of the reasons that have been traditionally given are right. Maybe Mr. Wallerstein is absolutely right that this has this sort of almost like America's going to control the world and we're going to put down this upstart who doesn't want to go along with our agenda. Could that be, is that maybe the reason we really went there?
Well, yeah, I think if you read the words of the folks who are the main supporters for the war, and even frankly the commander in chief, you know, whose addresses, his second inaugural address, frequently refers to spreading democracy, etc., I don't see how you can come away with that and not get a little sense of this. We're kind of going to remake the world in our image. Not that we're always going to do it by force. Certainly, diplomacy is a legitimate route. Even economic aid here or there, if it's done, you know, with a well-intentioned approach, that's fine. But again, the neoconservative vision, I think, includes the use of the military to spread this vision. And again, the vision is I'm not being too cynical in saying that democracy is useful to us as long as people vote for the people that we agree with. And so then you're left with the other explanation, which Wallerstein offers. And you may remember Michael Ledeen's famous phrase where he says, creative destruction is our middle name, namely that this American society is so full of motion and full of energy and full of creative change that we just run roughshod over any traditional society that's in the way. My question to Mr. Ledeen is, why is it our business to run roughshod over other traditional societies who may be perfectly comfortable without that kind of assistance?
And I think for our listeners, they should understand that Michael Ledeen is one of the leading neocons. He's written extensively on Machiavelli. He thinks Machiavelli was a great guy.
Yeah, he's his hero, absolutely.
And so you have to understand there really are people who see nothing wrong with fighting wars to advance their political agenda. And they, one of the things that Machiavelli did, he lied to the people. And Mr. Ledeen, who is one of the major spokesmen for the neocons, who seems to go right along with that. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. Did you have a question for our guest?
Good evening. I did.
Go ahead.
Is this man in Iran, is he just out of central casting? I mean, I understand everything you're saying. But this leader of, and I'm not saying we should go there, trust me. But it seems like he is just
insane.
I think he's out of central casting. I think you're absolutely right. If you read my latest newsletter, we go into the fact that everything he's doing is wrong. How could anybody be making so many stupid mistakes unintentionally, unless, of course, he's playing a part, unless everybody's playing a part? What are your thoughts on that, Jim?
Well, I agree with both of you. I think it's not remotely credible that a man in that part of the world, in the political climate that we're in today, could say some of the things that he says. Now, as you say, Doctor, things are often stranger than they seem, and, you know, who knows? It may be all genuine, but to me, if every remark just about is yet another pretext, and given that the outrage isn't just from here, but the Europeans, I mean, everybody, there's this hue and cry calling for this man's demise or for rebuking him for his statements. I mean, to me, it's all a little bit too contrived, but I suppose we'll have to wait and see and hope that it doesn't spell disaster.
Jim, do you have a computer?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you go to my website, radioliberty.com, and pull down my last newsletter, and I think it's Iraq, the Wrong War, or the Wrong War, I think is the title.
Iran or Iraq?
We're talking about, it's just called the Wrong War.
Oh, I see.
And read it, because we discuss exactly what you're talking about. The man, I believe, is from Central Casting.
May I say one other thing
quickly
before I go? Do you remember that issue of Foreign Affairs with all the bird flu articles, Dr. Stan?
Sure, I do. And Dr. Osterholm, of course, he was recently on Oprah Winfrey putting out the same thing. My goodness, we're all going to die of a bird flu.
I went out and bought that issue, and if you still have it, you might look. There was an article in there about Europe's angry Muslims. This was before all that happened in France.
Mm.
The scary thing is, any of those folks who are French citizens can come to our country without a visa.
Right, doesn't it make you feel good?
It sure does.
Okay. Thanks so
much for the war on terror, as they say.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, thank you. Bearing on at least one of those essential planks of just word doctrine, and just going by McLaughlin Group alone, it's remarkable only because it's one of the rare few venues where even a little truth leaks out around the edges. And what do you make of, say, the intellectual schizophrenia of Pat Buchanan, who has relatively little to apologize for? Nevertheless, him, and to a lesser extent, he makes statements about how the Iraq War enterprise is ultimately doomed to failure. McLaughlin sort of makes nodding agreements. And then, on the other hand, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Mm. Well, yeah, I think, I think it's interesting. We, of course, were very happy to have Mr. Buchanan contribute an essay to the first book. So I should say that, sight unseen, we're grateful to have him aboard. But I do find, and he's, of course, not the only one, there are a lot of these folks who, you know, you read one article and you're so thrilled that they've really nailed it, and then the next time we're wondering, just scratching our heads saying, how does this possibly measure up? And, of course, there's not time on this program to go into some details of, I think, some weak spots. I think there's some very serious but perhaps subtle errors that sort of travel along with a lot of these guys who suffer from this phenomenon that you've just pointed out, but it is out there, and it is problematic, I think.
Well, you know, because I can understand with the people who understand the war. I supported the Vietnam War. I'm ashamed to say initially because I thought we were there fighting communism.
Yep.
And I think there are a lot of people who honestly believe we're in Iraq fighting terrorism.
You're right, Doctor. The polls still say some 30-some percent, I think Saddam was involved in 9/11. And, I mean, that's a pretty high number given the amount of coverage that's had.
So, I mean, and it took me a long time before I realized we were not in Vietnam to fight communism. We were in Vietnam to fight a long and prolonged war, which was a wonderful way of taking our attention off of the fact we were losing our freedom at home. And just as today young men supposedly are over in Iraq fighting for freedom here in America, we're losing our freedom at home. And until people realize what a wonderful diversion war is, and it's a terrible thing to say, because war is a terrible thing. But it's even more terrible to realize that there really are people who would express that view, that we're using a war as a distraction. And that is exactly what McGeorge Bundy said about the Vietnam War. McGeorge Bundy was the head of the National Security Council who got us into that. Anybody who wants, of course, the quotation, you'll find it in one of my last two newsletters or Foreign Affairs Magazine, January of 1967, where in the lead articles he said, in effect, Vietnam is a great distraction. If you believe in the great new departures in health and education and welfare, I don't say we ought to get out of Vietnam. That'll only strengthen the hand of our opposition. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. And I would like to suggest that the way forward at home is by persistence in Iraq. But where are we headed? We're not headed towards freedom. We're headed towards the loss of freedom. We're going to be back in just a moment with John Sharp. Once again, why don't you give your site where people can get your book?
Yes, go right away to neocond.info. It's neoconned.info. Easiest thing to remember for information on Neocond, just type neocond, neoconned.info. The books are there, plus some very interesting headlines, and you can read all about the contributors and the various chapters they have. Really a one-stop shop, that's for sure.
Okay, fine. We're going to be back in just a minute, and you'll stay with us just 3 more minutes, John, and then we'll let you go.
Will do. Be happy to do so.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement. Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Is black magic performed daily right in plain view on television, in movies, and in America's leading newspapers and magazines? I'm Tex Mars. My newest book, Codex Magica, is a real eye-opener. 624 pages, over 1,000 photographs. Codex Magica shows the world's leading celebrities, from movie stars and presidents to bankers and senators, caught in the act. Discover the true secret signs of the Illuminati, their mysterious symbols, their hidden language. Encyclopedic, documented, Codex Magica unmasks a conspiracy of immense evil. Please order your personal copy of Codex Magica on the internet at powerofprophecy.com or simply phone toll-free 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Bye-bye, God bless you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America. 5 hours every day by radio someplace, by Internet, 4 hours every day, by shortwave, 9 hours every day on the satellite, and, of course, you can get us on Telstar 5. But, of course, all of these things are expensive propositions. If you believe that we're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization, that behind everything that is going on, there are powerful spiritual forces. If you believe, as Jim from Missouri says, that the fellow who's in charge of Iran today has to be from Central Casting, if you understand nothing really makes sense, if you stop and analyze it, then there must be another agenda. And there really is. If you have not yet read my last two newsletters, they're both posted up on the Internet, and we suggest you get them. They deal with the war in Iraq. One is Congressman Murtha's speech. The second is President Bush's response to Congressman Murtha's speech. And, of course, we'll have another couple of newsletters that will come out that will explain to you that Iraq had offered to surrender before we attacked, and we wouldn't let them surrender. And Saddam Hussein had offered to go into exile. And, of course, there was the powerful force didn't want Saddam to go into exile. They wanted this war. They wanted the carnage. They wanted the bloodshed. Who could be that evil? Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with organized evil. If you've not yet seen the videos that we offer, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to get them, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, and they will change your life and change your perspective, and you'll begin to understand what's really going on in the real world. If you've not yet read my 3 little pamphlets, they're only $9.95 for all 3 of them, called The Occult Hierarchy, you need to get them. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can get them by themselves or with a video and the audio tape, the Brotherhood of Darkness special, for really inexpensively. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, listen to our programs, and that, of course, many of you would give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. And whatever you can give, we'll certainly appreciate your support, because we need to maintain the foundation that we have today. We're over 60 outlets every single week. We're reaching out across America with information you're not going to get on ABC, CBS, NBC, or Rush Limbaugh, or Sean Hannity, or any of the conservatives, or certainly the liberal commentators. They're not going to explain to you the true spiritual significance of what's going on today. You hear all this talk about democracy. Well, you have to understand there's an age-old plan. It's 3,000 years old. To use the power of America to bring about world democracy. It's covered in a book written by Manly P. Hall, who is a Satanist. And we have his books, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, The Secret Destiny of America, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. They're all available from Radio Liberty, and so much other information you'll get here. You will not find elsewhere. There is an age-old plan, The Secret Destiny of America, that tells you about it. It was written in 1944. In anticipation of exactly what's going on today. I have a friend of mine who was studying to be a Satanist. Manly P. Hall was his instructor. Manly P. Hall told him about the first Gulf War in 91, the second Gulf War, only he told him it was going to begin in the year 2002. That's Bill Schneblin. I don't know if you've heard his programs. We've done a number of them with him. Understand, this is all scripted ahead of time, and many of the characters come from Central Casting. So we ask you, of course, to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, to tell others about our programs, to challenge what we say. At least think about what we say. Could this really be true? Are we moving towards World War III? Will God bring his judgment on America? Well, pray for America. Please pray for revival, because if our people don't turn back to God, God will never bless this country again and will bring terrible wrath on it. And then we ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, may the Lord be with you.